his knees felt weak. With unwavering willpower, Ty pressed forward. I've got it, he thought. I'll impress her with my humor. But every time he told a joke, his tongue got tied. In the end, it wasn't Ty's intelligence, strength, or humor that earned him Francesca's love. It was his heart and his tie.
Hello. Hey. How you guys doing tonight? Good? All right. Well, tonight, if you don't know it, we're in the month of February. And so in February, there's this one day called Valentine's Day. And we like to talk about relationships and dating and all those things in the month of February because it's really in the air. A lot of you are thinking about love. And the reality is that that's not a bad thing. God created love. God created relationships and all that. But we need to talk about what does God expect from us? What does God look for when it comes to dating, relationships, all of those things when it comes to our lives? See, we're starting this series called Love Sick. And sometimes, if we admit it, we've been there. We've been a little lovesick. I was talking to some of our students that come to Soul Train this past weekend, and I said, you're either in two categories. The first category that you're in is probably lovesick. You're thinking, that is disgusting. That is gross. Why would I be in love? And then there's another category of you right now who are in this category, lovesick. Yeah. And so you are thinking that that is what I am thinking about all the time, love. And it's just like all encompassing, everything that you think about every day is like, wow, I want to be in love. See, I think back and I remember for me, My first crush was in second grade. Yeah. And it was a girl named Ashley. And you will always remember your first crush, you know, because you think, wow, this person makes me feel weird. I'm getting these butterflies in my stomach. Whoa, what's going on here? And I remember I told my mom, I said, Mom, I was in second grade. Don't judge me. Come on. In second grade, I'm talking to my mom. I said, Mom, there's this girl named Ashley, and I really like her. And she said, really? You like Ashley? Why? You see, we have these funny things about us. We have these crushes that sometimes don't make sense. I remember my first girlfriend was in sixth grade. And I'm telling you, I had no direction in my life. I was just kind of like, you know, everybody at school, I didn't tell my parents. It was like one of these things where I was just kind of hiding it. And I had this girlfriend, and I remember her name is Ashley, and I will never forget her because that was the first girl that I went out with. I remember it was like, wow, we went on this date. It was like mom drove us to the movies, you know, it was like all this stuff. I'm just like one of those numbers, you know, like, you know, one of those. That was just what I went through. That was my in sixth grade and thinking about that. And it was this young love. You see, we all have these feelings inside of us, and God made that. But what we do with that is the most important thing. I want to say this up front. Some of your parents say, you are not allowed to date. And from the Word of God, here's what it says. Obey your father and mother. And so if your parents tell you, you don't need to be dating, you don't need to be doing any of those things, if you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want to know what God wants for your life, it's to obey your parents. See, because the Bible doesn't specifically talk about dating and give us guidelines and all that stuff when it comes to that specifically, because really, that's a new concept. Back in the old days, like maybe 100 years ago or 200 years ago, which isn't really that long ago, when we think about it, but like in the whole span of history, that before, like right around that time, your parents would pick who you were going to marry. There was no such thing as dating. And so really, we are in a new era where we're trying to figure this out and what God's word says about it. But I just want to say this up front. Listen to your parents, obey your parents, because that's what the word of God says. See, for me, when I was your age, I thought that being in love would make me someone else. You know what I mean? Like, this would make me like a real man, a real guy. If I had a girlfriend, that's where it was at. Because if you were honest with yourself, you would think, man, if I had a boyfriend, if I had a girlfriend, that would make me more of a person. I would be more complete. You see, but when it comes to it, when God tells us what the word of God, you know, we look at what God says, that is not true. That is not true. Your feelings, everything, emotions tells you, I am going to be a real man or I'm going to be a complete woman if I've got a boyfriend or girlfriend. But that is not the truth, because when it comes down to it, we can get obsessed. We can get obsessed with the idea of finding love. We can become so obsessed with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and just that idea of, man, maybe somebody out there will love me, that it just encompasses our thoughts. And we become somebody else. Because if you are honest, you would see somebody that you know that has been obsessed. Now, it's always easier to say, I know somebody who's obsessed with being in love. I know somebody, I know that person. But when it comes to you, are you obsessed? Are you obsessed with this idea of I'm only complete if I've got a boyfriend or girlfriend? Because here's the deal. We've gone from valuing relationships to overvaluing them. We've said, you know, God like created us to be in a relationship. Guys, God has created you to be in a relationship with a girl. Girls, God has created you to be in a relationship with a guy. That is not a bad thing. But what we do is we start to overvalue that, and we start to put our whole emphasis on it, and we become obsessed with it. See, it seems as if everyone has bought into the idea that our worth is directly tied to our relational status. Get what I'm saying? Sometimes we go on Facebook and it's like, man, if I could just say I'm in a relationship with somebody, my cool points will go up like crazy. You know, it's like, if I could just say that I'm somebody likes me, that's where it's at. See, we think our worth of like who we are is going to be based on if somebody likes us. But the truth is that God's word doesn't say anything about that. Because it's not true. See, these things become detrimental when we start to believe that relationships, we just become so obsessed with it. We believe that it's like our everything. We focus on it so much. And then we forget, you know what? God created me for something more. God created me with a plan. God has a future for me. Because we can become so obsessed that we say, God, I love this person, or I care about what this person thinks more than what you think. And so we are willing to do whatever it takes to get this girlfriend or boyfriend. But what I want to say is, don't be obsessed, because God has a better plan for you. See, tonight I want to look at this guy named Samson. How many of you heard of Samson before? You heard of Samson? Great. Now, the Bible talks about Samson, and for Samson, he was one of these guys who was special, man. He had a calling on his life. God had a special plan for him. We find him in the book of Judges, and during that time, God appointed special people to be like the rulers over Israel. So he's like, this guy is going to be significant. God had a plan for his life. And we find out in Judges 13, 2 through 5, that he was set aside to be pure. He was set aside to be special. He was set aside to be something that was different, complete, whole. Like, he was going to find his true value in God. That's number one. And so that's where we find Samson in Judges 13, 2 through 5. So we're going to look at a verse real quick. This is what Paula read for us, and she did a great job. But let's put up the first verse. This is from Judges 13, 24 through 25. And let's dig in and see what it says about Samson. It says, the woman, Samson's mom, gave birth to a boy named Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Manana, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so we see that for him, he had something special. God was in his life. God was number one. That's where it was at, okay? God had a plan for Samson. But let me tell you about Samson's weakness. Samson's weakness, as we start to read on, was women, was relationships, was dating, was getting out there, and being with people that he shouldn't have. See, Samson, the Bible says, was the strongest man during his time. He defeated armies. He was huge. I mean, when we picture Samson, I want you to think of, like, the strongest, best-looking guy that you can. All right? Guys, you're probably thinking, oh, that's me, you know? All the girls over here are probably thinking about you right now. Bring it in. We're not going to focus on that. Right here. Word of God. You guys aren't Samson, okay? So here's the deal. Right here. Bring it in. So Samson, this guy was it. And what we see is that Samson wants to get with the wrong type of person. You see, in Judges 14:3, he's doing what God was wanting him to do, and then all of a sudden, somebody catches his eye. He was like, whoa! That's my girl. That right there is my girl. He's like, I am going to marry that girl. Have you ever heard somebody in middle school say, man, that is the girl I'm going to marry. I'm going to marry her. Okay, this Samson, maybe if you haven't heard, you'll hear in a couple years. Samson is in love, okay? He is in love, and he is going to tell his mom and dad. He said, I'm going to tell my mom and dad that I'm in love because I saw this girl today, and you wouldn't believe how pretty she was. She was gorgeous. That's my wife. You could write a love song about this, okay? And so Judges 14:3 says, his father and mother replied after he told them, hey, I've got this girl. Isn't there any acceptable women among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? See, here's what he did. He went over to the people who didn't even believe in God. They actually hated God. They didn't like God at all. But they had some pretty, you know, they were smoking hot girls over there. And so what he did was, he said, you know, that's what matters to me most. I'm gonna go over there because I like those girls. And again, his parents came in with the wisdom. Okay, the Bible says follow, you know, obey your father and mother. Samson wasn't applying this rule here, but he went over and he just said, this is the girl. And they said, no, it's not. Wise up a little bit. That's not the girl. Isn't there somebody better than that? Samson, don't lower your standards for somebody who doesn't even believe in God. They don't even like God. Why would you want to be around that type of person? But Samson goes on. And here's what it says next. He says, get her for me. She's the right one for me. So he says, Mom, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm doing. That's what I'm going to do. And so what the Bible says is that he took her for his wife. Relationship number one. Relationship number one. Here's what happens next. Bible says that his wife betrays him, lies to him, leaves him. Doesn't listen to mom and dad. Doesn't listen to what they have to say. I know better. That's what happens. So what happens next is, Bible says he goes to a rebound relationship. And what we find out from the Bible is that it was all physical. And Samson messes up that way. And so again, relationship number two. Relationship number three. Judges 16, 4 through 5. Here's what it says. See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. See, what happens is he sees this girl named Delilah. Delilah gets approached by some men and they said, Samson, he keeps destroying everything we're trying to do. He keeps doing things in this name of God. And so we'll pay you to sell him out. We know his weakness. He loves women. And so why don't you just go over there and figure it out, figure out what his strength is, and then we'll pay you money. And so what we find out is that she accepts. See, Samson's weakness. But then we go on to Judges 16, 15 through 16. And he starts this relationship with her. And it's going and it's growing. And he tells her a couple lies, you know, because, you know, every good relationship is built on some lies, right? No. It's actually terrible. But he, you know, that he just was messed up. And so he's just telling her lies. And, yeah, this is my strength. This is what twice he lies to her. And then she realizes that. And here's what she says. And she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me, when you won't tell me the truth? See, some of you have been in a relationship before where you think, this guy, this girl didn't even tell me the truth. They're just lying to me again and again and again. Oh, yeah, yeah, I was busy doing something else. Yeah, sorry, I didn't call you back. All these things. You know, it's just like lies, 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 lies. And you believe them. But here's what Samson says. And it says, this is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. I think that's pretty funny. She just kept talking to him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. And it's just like, all right, all right, all right already. And so what the Bible says is that Samson spilled the beans. He says, here's the deal. Here's the key to my strength. Key is my hair. He said, God set me apart to be pure. I really haven't listened to him much on that, but I've got this long hair, and so that's where the source of my strength is. He says, if you cut this off, then I'm done. I've got no strength. That's what the Lord's told me. And so we find probably one of the scariest verses in Scripture, I would say, and it's in Judges 16:20. See, they tied him up, and they got him all tied up just like they did the previous times, but they cut his hair off. And it says, then she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. One of the scariest verses in Scripture. He did not know that the Lord had left him. You see, he was so obsessed with these girls. He was so obsessed with finding true love. He didn't care that God had a plan for his life. He didn't care that there was something better out there. He didn't care that God cared more about him than he cared about himself. He didn't care. And the Lord left him. The Lord said, "You don't care about me? Fine. Figure it out on your own." See, that's scary when you think about it. Because when we become obsessed with relationships, we lose sight of who we are. Samson became so obsessed with women that he forgot who God created him to be. God set him apart to do something special in this world, and then he just went off and just said, "You know what? I don't care. I've got a better plan for my life." Because if you think about Samson's life like this apple and all the women that came into his life and they took a chunk from him, they took a chunk out of his life. And if you think about what Samson was left with, he was left broken. He was left in a mess. He was left trying to figure out why. You see, but the whole time, if he would have just followed God's plan, God would have had something better for him. Because if you think about an apple and when its chunks are taken out of it, what starts to happen? Starts to turn brown, starts to turn nasty. You see, when you think about it, the same is true with our lives. When we become so obsessed with relationships, with dating, and focusing on that, and saying, "God, you know what? I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I'm just going to do my own thing." Then what happens is we just give chunks of ourselves away, and in the end, we just start to turn rotten inside. And we start to think of ourselves as, "You know what? How could anybody love me? How could anybody care about me?" And all these lies start to fill our head. "I'm not beautiful. I mean, I can't forgive myself." All of these thoughts. All of these dark, brown, disgusting thoughts start to overtake our life. And we say, "Why? Why?" It's because we said, "God, I don't care about your way. I want to do it my way." You see, a lot of the insecurities and things that you're facing right now, they're not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. God had a plan for Samson's life. Samson said, "You know what? I got it from here, God. I can take it from here." And in the end, this is really sad. In the end, Samson really committed suicide. It's a really terrible story. It's a really sad story. And so for you, God placed this story in here for a reason. The point is, when we become obsessed with relationships, we lose sight of who we are. God doesn't want you to lose sight of who you are. You see, you are created by God for something special, for something significant. He's got a plan for your life. There was a girl that I was just obsessed with. Like, I really thought that this girl was, like, the one I was going to marry. I was in high school. And I was just like, man, you know, I would talk to her on the phone every night, all this stuff. And there, you know, she was, like, one of those people who was, like, kind of a Christian. But she was, like, gorgeous on the outside. but she was kind of a Christian. And I remember there was this turning point in my life where we were talking, and I was so like, I thought I loved her, okay? I was obsessed. But then I remember this conversation that we had, and it just changed everything for me. She said, "Why do you talk about God so much? Why do you talk about us?" And then it was like, light bulb, whoa, why do I talk about God so much? And that was the thing for me that I realized, you know what? I don't need to be with this girl. I need to get out of this relationship. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. I didn't want to forget who I was. I'm God's. I'm Jesus's before I'm anything else. And so for you, I just want to tell you, if you make Jesus number one, if you put him as the priority, and you do something that is very opposite to what Samson did, I'm telling you, you won't fall for this trap. So my question to you tonight is, are you lovesick? Are you like Samson? Would you give up everything for that relationship that will probably last as long as Samson's did? Because in the end, guys, I'm telling you, there's hope at the end of the tunnel. Because today I know that my wife, she loves Jesus more than she loves me. And I love Jesus more than I love her. We put him number one. And that's the way that God created marriage to be. That's it. Because I'm telling you, if you love God and you love Jesus and you put him number one, you will learn what it means to love somebody else. But guys, it all starts with our relationship with him. You got to put that number one before anything else. You see, and you think about this apple right here. You think, man, I've already given my heart to people. I've already made the mistakes. I've already done the relationships that I shouldn't have done, and I'm just broken. I'm broken. I just want to tell you that, you know, God, he wants to say, I can make you whole again. I can make you whole again. I can do something different in your life. But all you got to do is say, you know what? I don't want to live the way I lived anymore. I want to make the Lord number one. That's where it's at. There is forgiveness. Man, there's forgiveness for mistakes. And guys, girls, you know the mistakes. You know them. But there's forgiveness through Christ. There's forgiveness through Jesus. And Jesus can set you on a different path. And so let's pray. Father, I just pray that tonight, as we talk about a subject that a lot of us have struggled through, thinking, man, what do I do? How do I deal with these feelings that are inside? And we just become so obsessed with dating relationships that we really give up our morals. We give up our relationship with you. And we say, well, she's kind of loves God, or she, you know, he kind of, I think he one time went to church. I don't know. And so it's like, what's more important? It's who we are. Because if that's number one, then we won't make the mistakes. We won't go down those wrong paths that are going to tempt us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. God, we want to put our relationship with Jesus number one and be obsessed with him. And then through that, learn what it looks like to have a healthy relationship with somebody that's of the opposite gender. But Lord, we got to figure this out, because we don't want to be like Samson, who gave up everything for some really, really bad relationships. God, there are some in here tonight that have made bad choices already. And God, I'm speaking from somebody who's done it. I've made bad choices. But through that, through what you've done on the cross, Lord Jesus, you forgave me. And there's forgiveness in this place tonight so that we can become whole again. So I just pray for that, for those that are here, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. What am I going to ask is for you guys to stand up. God created you to be in love. That is a holy thing. That is a beautiful thing. You know, and we are inspired when we see people who are like really in love, you know? It's like, man, that's how it's supposed to be. And in your heart, you think, man, I hope that for me. I hope that that can be me. And what I want to say is the Bible tells us that our first love is to be the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, I just want to tell you, tonight he gave it all for you. I mean, you think of any, like, story where you were inspired and you thought, man, that person gave up a lot to be with that person. Jesus gave up his life to be with you. And in a few weeks, we're going to have a baptistry right there. And there are some of you who've never made a decision to make Jesus number one, to make it public. To say, I love the Lord. And I'm going to follow God's ways, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. You've never done that before, and you need to. And then there are others of you, and I'm going to say this, and I don't care if you unfriend me on Facebook, okay? You are not living the way that Jesus wants you to live right now, and you have been in that baptistry. You stood there and said, I love Jesus. And then right now you are just like saying, God, you're just like Samson. You're saying, God, I was just kidding. I really love this guy. I really love this girl more than you. And so I'm just going to push pause on our relationship, and I'm just going to go over here. You are making some huge mistakes right now. Girls, some of you, you're sending pictures of yourself that you shouldn't. You think it's a joke. Oh, yeah, this guy really loves me, so I'm going to send this stuff. And he is lying to you just like Delilah did to Samson. They're lying to you. The guys know your number, and so, hey, cool. They are making fun of you right behind your back. You don't even realize it. And guys, some of you right now, you're just, like, trying to show off, trying to say, do whatever you can to prove to yourself that you're a real man. And so that when you go into the locker room and guys are like, oh, yeah, that girl. And you're just like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm just going to do that because that's going to make me a real man. You're lying to yourself. You need to stop being deceived. Start being a real man and learn what it means to love Jesus. And then you can learn what it means to love a girl. Stop acting, guys. Stop messing around. This is too important. I don't want you guys messed up walking around not knowing how to have a healthy relationship and then getting divorced someday. I don't want to see it. Samson, that's what he did. Guys, you've seen it. God wants something better for your life. God has a plan for your life. Don't mess it up. So if you need to accept the Lord, what I'm going to ask is, you know, let's just bow our heads. Let's just come before God. This is a heavy topic, talking about this stuff. But tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you made some mistakes and you want to be made whole again, I'm just going to ask you, raise your hand. God knows you're here. God sees you. God loves you. God cares about you. God knows the mistakes you're making right now. And he's waiting to embrace you. He saying, I want you to be a part of my family. Don't mess up. I've got a future for you. I love you. I care about you. Don't give up on the plan I have for you. Don't do it. I've got something more. Father God, you see the hands that are raised here. These are people who want to make Jesus number one in their life. And I just pray, Father, as they raise their hands, we are confessing that we are sinners. God, that we have messed up, we've made mistakes, we've done things that have broken your heart. And right now we are confessing, Lord, that we need Jesus in our life. We need to accept him as our Lord and Savior. We want the forgiveness of sins. We want to accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. Tonight, some of you, you're living in sin. And it's like everybody else around you is doing it, and so you're thinking, man, this is what I need to do. I don't care. And you're giving up everything that you know that God wants for your life and saying, I'm just going to do this for just a little while. I'm just going to give up my values. I'm going to give up what God wants for me. I'm just going to push it aside for a little while. What I'm asking you, if that's you, just raise your hand before the Lord. This isn't about the person next to you. This is about you before God. Right now, some of you guys, you're looking up things on the internet that you know you shouldn't. You're looking up on your iPod, whatever it is, right now, and you feel guilt. You think, God, I don't know how to forgive myself. I need help. I need help. I need help. Father, you see the hands that are raised here. Father, in this place, we are submitting to you. We are weak, God. We need help. We need Jesus. So I just pray right now as those who are raising their hands that, Father, your spirit just helps them to know that Romans 8:1 is true. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are beating ourselves up for the sins that we've done, I just pray in the name of Jesus tonight as we're raising our hands, we understand that we are forgiven by the cross and we are called to live a different life, that we turn around, we live differently. We don't want to be that way anymore. I will not talk about girls that way anymore. I will not talk about guys that way anymore. I will not look stuff up that I know I shouldn't. I will not do that anymore. I'm not going to be obsessed with a relationship. I will be obsessed with Jesus. I just want Jesus. I want to put him number one. That's my life. That's what I'm going after. I don't care. I will trust God that God will bring the right person for my life when it's my time. That's it. I'm focusing on Jesus. Father, hear our prayers as we come to you. We are broken. We've seen some messed up stuff in our life. If we acknowledge it, Lord, before you, I just pray that you erase those things from our hearts and from our minds, and that we can become people who are pure, who live for the plan of Jesus. Pray this all in the Lord's name. Amen. Yo, this is a serious topic, and this month we are diving in, all right? And so what I'm going to need from you guys is let's just be serious, you know? Let's be serious about this. Let's not be immature. I'm going to tell you to yell something, and it's going to be weird, okay? But God created it, and we're going to talk about this, okay? I just want you guys to say sex. It's weird. God created that to be a good thing. He created it to be in the context of marriage. And what I'm saying is, already immaturity over there. You can giggle, you can laugh, whatever, okay? But here's the deal. God's got a plan for you. Don't give it up. Don't give up on it. All right? So don't think that you guys know. If you don't know, talk to your small group leader. God's got a plan for you. Don't give up on that. Because in the end, you can go up to your spouse someday and say, here you go. You got an old rotten apple. Here you go. You take this. Cool. Awesome. Or you can go up to your spouse someday and say, here you go. I waited for you. I waited for you. Because God knew that you were mine before I knew it, but I just trusted God, and here you go. That's what God wants for you. So right now, we're going to sing to the Lord. Let's just focus on Him. And I just pray that God speaks to you, that you encourage your friends. You don't judge people. We're not about judging either, okay? Do not judge people who are living different from what God wants. You need to think about yourself. What am I doing to live a pure life for God? You don't need to be judging other people, saying, you need to be this and you need to do that. And you need to think about yourself. Let it be here. And then you can help other people. It's about helping people to understand what God wants for their life. Not judging them and say, you need to be this way. And you're this and you're that. And you're calling people names. It's about giving people direction, helping them, praying for them. So that's what it's about. Let's sing to the Lord.